Good morning. It's a pleasure for me to be here and to share the Word of God with you. I try the best I can. My English is not my first language, but I try to do the best I can. So I want for you to open the Bible in Psalm 105, verse 1. 105, verse 1. The Bible says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people." Amen. And this is why we are here and why I'm here, to proclaim the name of the Lord and to share the name of the Lord upon among people. So I want to tell you a little bit about how I became a child of God, because every story is different, but what is so interesting, it's God work for all of us, the same God for each of us. In 2006, came a big flood in our area and destroyed absolutely everything, houses, cars, absolutely everything, and affected Negoi, area where we live, and another villages around us. The flood destroyed everything. After some years, some people from Romania heard about this flood and they came to help. They knew people needs food. They knew people needs clothes, but also they knew people needed God. And many Christians from Romania, they came in that village where was this flood, and they built churches. This is how I became a child of God. I became a child of God through a person who goes to one of these church. How did I met this person? Actually, I wanted to call a friend, but somebody else answered. It was a wrong call. In my mind, it was a wrong call, but actually it's the plan of God. So when this person answered, I said, "I'm sorry, I wanted to call a friend." And she said, "Okay, no problem, bye." And I said, "Wait." Because during this time, she was listening to music. And I asked her, "What kind of music do you listen? I never heard something like this." She said, "I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God. I go to the church, I live for God." I talked to this person more months because I want to find out more about God. And she told me more things about God. She invited me to the church. I went there. I was there. And I decided to give my life to God. I told my parents and they said, "This is not for you. The Christian life is not for you. You're just a child." And I said, "I want to follow Jesus forever." I went to the church in Romania. Romania is a poor country, in special in past, when I was younger. I went to the church three times a week by bike. I used a bike to go 1 hour there and 1 hour back, three times by week, just to know more about Jesus, just to meet with Jesus, just to meet with my brothers and sisters in Christ. After 1 year, my parents saw the desire from my heart. I want to follow Jesus. I love Jesus. And they decide also to come to the church to see what happened there. Because they saw me, I go there all the time. So they was curious what happened there. So they came to the church. Of course, not with a bike. But because we didn't have a car, we used a cart and a horse Even in the winter, even if it was cold, rain, we went there to meet with God and with other people. 1 hour there and 1 hour back with a cart and horse. Right now, praise the Lord, I have a licensed driver license, and I can go with the car. But God is amazing. So after I became a child of God, I told them about Jesus. I told them it's the life with Jesus, it's amazing. So they accept also Jesus in their heart and in their life. My dad, my mom, my sister, my grandmother, my aunt, praise the Lord. And after them, they came a lot other people to Jesus, children and other persons from our village. So they all came to Jesus, and God used the flood to bring salvation. Sometimes God uses hard things to make us more like Him. So I never want to go back to my old life. I never want to go back to my old life. And my desire is for all of you to know Jesus in a personal way, in a personal way. Not just to know about Jesus, but to know Jesus. I know some things from America. I know it's there is 50 states. I know America has about 247 years. I know America gave me my wife. I know one of the biggest state or city in the world, it's New York City. Listen, just because I know some things about America doesn't make me to be an American. Let me give you an example also. Everyone knows who is Donald Trump, right? I found some details about him, and internet said he was born in June 14, 1946 in Queens, and he has right now 77 years old. And guess what? I never met him. Just because I know some things about Donald Trump doesn't make me to be best friend with Donald Trump. It's the same with Jesus. Just because I know some things about Jesus doesn't make me to be best friend with Jesus. I have to become one with Him. Not just to know about Him, but to know Him. I think, in according with Scripture, many people will be in hell because they knew about Jesus, but they don't knew Jesus in a personal way. Not just to know about Him, but to know Him. Not just to speak about Him or to talk about Him, but to talk to Him. Not just to see how He lived, but to live with Him. Not just to see how He prayed, but to pray to Him. Not just to see where He walked, but to walk with Him. Jesus is the answer to absolutely everything. And in our world, there are millions of ways to hell, and just only one way to heaven. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. Jesus is all I need for my life. Jesus, without me, He remained the same. I'm nothing without Jesus. Believe me. I'm nothing without Jesus. In our world, many things change. People change. Weather change. President change. Seasons change. Jesus stayed the same. Jesus remained the same. Jesus, it's holy without me. I cannot be holy without Jesus. Jesus has power without me. I cannot have power without Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world without me. I cannot have light in this world without Jesus. Jesus, right now, is in heaven without me. I cannot go in heaven without Jesus. Jesus is all I need for my life. My life depends 100% of Jesus. 100% of Jesus. So, knowing my life depends 100% of Jesus. I have to live holy. I have to live in His will. Bible says, in other words, that the holiness is the beauty of the house of the Lord. The church is beauty when there is holiness. Sometimes when I'm in Romania, I go with some young people or youth to other churches, and when they enter in the church, they look around and they say, wow, nice color has this church. Lights, nice stage. Nice. It's not about this. The church is beautiful when there is holiness. The church is beautiful when there is the presence of God. This is make a church to be beautiful. How many churches do you know which when you enter, the presence of God is so strong that your life is changed? The church is beautiful when there is holiness. And the holiness is the beauty of the Christian. This is made me and you and Christians to be beauty, to be nice, to be the holiness. Not what kind of clothes I wear, not what kind of car you drive, not all of this. A Christian, it's holy when he follows Jesus. God wants us to be holy. And I want to tell you an interesting thing. In John 14, Jesus said he prepared a place for us in heaven, right? I thought about this, and he not just prepared a place for us. He prepared us for the place in heaven. He wants us holy. Be holy, stay far away of sin. I want to ask you something. It's ridiculous for a bride to stay far away of the mud or to stay far away of dirty things. No, it's absolutely normal, because a bride wear or is dressed with a white cloth, right? And she always wants to stay far away of dirty things. This is the way how Jesus works in our life. He gave us white clothes, and we have to keep white by praying, by coming to the church, by read Bible. God wants us holy. It doesn't matter what happened with me. Even if I'm young person, I want to tell everyone how amazing is Jesus and how he worked in my life. So, doesn't matter what happened with me. If God wants me holy, I want to be holy. Doesn't matter who read the Bible, I will read my Bible. Doesn't matter who prays, I will pray, because God wants me holy. I will preach against abortion. I will preach against divorce. I will preach against gossip. I will preach against homosexuality. If you are a Christian, you will hate what God hates. And you'll love what God loves. I set this in my life. And I want for you to think about this. And you set in your life if you want. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. Holy Spirit is my guide. Heaven is my house. Bible is my light. Every child of God is my family. The gospel is my power. The glory of God. It's my goal. The Bible said in the verse where we read, give thanks to the Lord. He did a lot to us. Every blessing in your life comes from God. You have a family, say thank you, God. You have a great church here, say thank you, God. You have a great pastor, say thank you, God. I met him and his wife, and they are wonderful people. And I'm sure you are also too. Thank God you have hands. I talked to a people in Romania, and he doesn't have hands at all. He has a family, he has children, and he talked to me and he said, you know how much painful I have in my heart to see when my children comes to me to hug me and I can't do the same? You have hands. You are blessed. Who opened the door of your car? Yourself, right? Your hand. Who feed you when you eat? Yourself, right? Because you have hands. It's a blessing to have this. Sometimes we don't think about this, but let's think deeper about who we are through God, what we have from God. You have water in your house, right? Most of people in Romania, in the area where we live, they don't have water in their house. It's good things if they have water in their yard and they go there, they tie a rope to a bucket, they put the bucket in this hole where is water, and they pulled up and they bring the water into the house to wash dishes or to wash clothes by hand because they don't have a wash machine. Or life is hard there, very hard. And the reason why I tell you this is to know how blessed you are, to know how blessed you are by God. And in all things, to say, not me, but God. Not me, but God. You have a family, not me, but God. You have you have a good position, you have a good job. Says, not me, but God. It's because of Him. I remember a story, and I'll finish with this, from Bible, about Joseph and Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a dream. Do you remember this? And nobody could interpret his dream. And Joseph came in the front of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, I heard you know how to interpret dreams. Do you remember the answer of Joseph? Joseph said, not me, but God is the one who gave you an answer. It's the same with us. Every blessing you have in your life, who you are, what God gave for you, your position, your job, your family, the fact you have clothes, the fact you have water, say, not me, but God. Give all praise to Him. Give all praise to Him. This is our God. I wanted to share with you this, and I'm so glad I came here and to meet all of you and to share my life story. I want for you to know you have an amazing God. And I want you to know Him in a personal way. Not just to know about Him, but to know Him in a personal way. I like Leonard Ravenhill. I know he liked to. And he said in a book, no man is greater than his prayer life. Think about this. And God, of course, God wants to work for him. It's his ministry, but in the same time, more than this, God wants fellowship between us and him. God bless you. Thank you.
After just hearing that, I would like to pray. That's okay with everybody. Lord God, we thank you that you are good, and we have so many reasons to thank you. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence that is here. We thank you for the fact that we can fellowship, and we don't have to hide and be in secret. God, may we just boldly worship you today in spirit and in truth. And Lord God, if there's anybody here today that does not know you in a personal way, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Draw them by your Holy Spirit. We welcome you here, and we pray above all that you are glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so you just met my husband. His name is Avi. That's short for Octavian, which is Greek for the number 8. So he says he's the 8th wonder of the world. But all jokes aside, he's a wonderful husband. We just celebrated 1 year on December 3rd. And thank you. but I am actually from this area. I graduated Northwest High School in 2014. And my parents are here with me today. They're in the back here. Their names are Jim and Janet Weiss. And my dad actually grew up right here across from the youth center. So that was a part of their family farm many years ago. So this is our stomping ground. but we are very thankful to be here this morning and just share what God is doing in Romania. And the fact that he lets us be a part of it, we are very, very humbled by it and thankful for it. So our names are Tavi and Hannah Calderaru. You can say Colorado, might be a little easier. It's close enough. But my husband and I actually met back in 2016. It was on a missions trip while I was over there. And prior to this trip, I actually heard his testimony that you just heard this morning. My pastor, I had moved to Virginia after high school, and my pastor was sharing his testimony, and I saw his picture. And I thought in my head, without saying anything out loud, this is the type of man I would want to marry, because I saw his genuine love for the Lord. Now, my mom was sitting next to me, and we didn't say anything until the ride home. And she said, Hannah, did you hear that testimony about that young man? That's the type of man I would want you to marry. I said, Mom! I said, Mom, I thought the same thing. Never in my life did I think I'd even meet him, let alone marry him, but God had a much better plan. So it's been a long time in the waiting, but God's timing is perfect. So if you can go to the next slide, I want to apologize to the technology people. I am technologically inept. If you can go back, I think it downloaded as a video. I'm sorry. Sorry. Before we go to see that slide, when I say Romania, what comes to mind? Anything at all? Ukraine. Okay, so it borders Ukraine. Yep. Anything? No. The Olympics. Okay. Nadia Comaneci or something. Yeah, that. What he said. She was a famous gymnast, right, in the Olympics. Transylvania, yes. Dracula, based off of Vlad Tepes, who was a Romanian prince. Okay. So, we're good to go. Okay, before I get to tell you some more facts about Romania, I wanted to share two verses, and it goes right along with what my husband had just said. So when Tavi and I got married, we started working as missionaries together. We said we want to have scripture behind what we're doing. And we both chose two different verses out of John 17. And they're up there on the screen, but I'll read them for you. It says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And of course, that's Jesus himself speaking. Our goal is to share eternal life with other people. And according to that verse, eternal life is that they might know the only true God in Jesus Christ who now ascends. So we want people to know God, not just to know about him. We want them to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, not just through works, not just show up to a church building. Kind of like what he was saying, he can share all these facts about America, but it doesn't make him an American. You can be in this building, but it doesn't make you a follower of Jesus Christ. So our prayer is that people would know Jesus in a personal way. And also in verse 4, to glorify him on the earth, to finish the work that he gave us to do. Right now, God wants us in Romania. Who knows where he'll want us in a couple years from then? We don't know, but we want to glorify him wherever he has us. And right now, it's Jonestown, Pennsylvania. And he already knew we were going to be here from before the world began. So that has been our prayer. That has been our goal. We can go to the next slide. So some facts about Romania. What we mentioned, to the north, we're already bordered by Ukraine. We're also bordered by the countries of Moldova, Hungary, Bulgaria, and Serbia, and the Black Sea to the side. It kind of looks like a little fish, if you could see the whole map. It's located in Eastern Europe, and it was formerly communist until about 1989, if you ever heard about Nicolae Ceaușescu, or there was a big 2020 special back in the 90s about the orphanages in Romania, just how poorly cared for the children were, and a lot of Americans adopted Romanian children after that episode. So that ended in 1989, and now most people, 86.5%, will identify as Romanian Orthodox. So it's a lot of rituals, a lot of tradition. But even in the public schools, they will learn things like the Lord's Prayer. They're learning about Jesus dying on the cross. But then at the same time, the teacher will say, well, God's not real. So it's very much based on just tradition and culture. If you're Romanian, you're Orthodox. If you're Orthodox, you're Romanian. It's just a lot of ritual. So we want to teach them about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. 75% of the population live in rural areas. The best way I explain it is that the cities are westernized, very American, and maybe 30 or 40 years behind. I give the example, they just opened a brand new mall in our city that's an hour away. So I imagine what it was like in the 80s and 90s here when malls were just opening. But the cities, or the villages, I'm sorry, where we live are about life 100 years ago. Like my husband mentioned, they used a horse and a cart. There's still a lot of people that do not have cars, and if you have cars, gas is $8 a gallon, and the average American makes, or Romanian makes $500 a month, so not very sustainable. A lot of people in our village do not have indoor plumbing. A lot of these girls in the villages will get married at 12, 13, things like that. So life is much different. One out of five kids will also drop out of school. As I'll talk as we go along, we work a lot with children. And education is not very highly prioritized where we live. And so I know adults who cannot read. I know kids that when we meet together every week, Tavi will ask, did you go to school this week? It was a very strange question for me because I did not have a choice. And so that's another need. Also, among Romanians is a minority known as the Roma, or more commonly known as Gypsies. So my husband actually is half Romanian, half Gypsy. It is an ethnic group. So they came from northern India, Pakistan, hundreds of years ago. They have their own language, their own culture. He does not speak Gypsy, but a lot of the kids in our group, that is their first language at home, and they'll learn Romanian if they go to school and from the community in general. So that's called Tigranesh, is the name of that language. So the unemployment rate among the gypsies is about 28%, and the poverty level is reaching 70%. So a lot of need in our area. We lived in the south. We live in the southwest corner, that kind of teal blue color, where it says Altania, and we're literally right by the border of Bulgaria. So that is the southwest corner. We can go to the next slide. There you go. So I kind of talked a little bit already about how God brought us together. Javi proposed to me on his birthday, which is Christmas Eve, so he said I could not say no, so that's how we're here. But we are very blessed in the fact that God brought us together, and now we get to work together in his village where he grew up. It's called Nigoy. So that's a much longer story, but God is good. We can go to the next slide. Okay, so typically that picture is with a bunch of shoes right outside of our door, and that is from all the kids that come in. So our goal is to be disciples, who make more disciples, and there is a huge opportunity with the children. A lot of these kids are not necessarily being raised by their parents. It's typically their grandparents, because the parents will be going to Western Europe, like Spain, like Germany, and they'll be doing different migrant work. Like I said, the average Romanian makes about $500 a month, but if they go to Spain and they're picking garlic, they're cutting olives, things like this, they're making about $2,000 a month. So they will go and do that for 8-9 months out of the year and maybe see their kids once a year. So even if the kids do happen to go with their parents, they're out in the field. They're not going to school. They're not getting an education. So it's a very tough position, but we want to reach out to these kids to have them know they're loved, they're seen, they're not forgotten, and it opens a door to share the gospel with the rest of their family, whoever happens to be taking care of them. So we can go to the next slide. So KFC is popular over there, the restaurant, but we named our group in English Kids for Christ. So we meet every Saturday morning. It's very similar to Awana. I don't know if you have Awana here, but or some type of kids group. And we will sing songs. We will teach them how to pray, to spend time in God's presence, and teach them about his word. And what is so awesome, well, actually, I'll wait till you see the video, and you'll see what's so awesome. But just how God has shown his hand over the past year that we've been there. We've just started a year ago, and God has been faithful to show who he is. Has anyone here ever watched Superbook? Yeah, it's a kid's cartoon. Okay, so that has actually been translated into a bunch of different languages, Romanian being one of them, and we encourage the kids, because a lot of them have phones anyways, to watch them at home, and they have different games they can play, but one family in particular, the boys' names are Cosmin and Marius. They started watching them, and their grandma and their mom started watching them. Hospitality is huge over there, so we either host families all the time or people host us, and they started asking us questions. They were watching the episode with Adam and Eve, and they said, we didn't know that the serpent had legs. We didn't know that this is how sin entered the world, and it just led this conversation through a children's cartoon. So it's been amazing to see God working through the children. We've also had the opportunity to work with teenagers, which is pretty rare because they're getting married so young, or they'll leave and they'll go to work very young. There's been two boys in particular. Their names are Marion and Christy, who my husband has been able to share the gospel with, and by God's grace, they have decided to follow Christ as well. And for me, what has been a privilege is a young girl who has also decided to follow Christ. And so we are thankful that this young generation is being brought up to know the truth, and hopefully will pass it on to their parents and to their family. You can go to the next slide. Okay, who here likes sports? Yeah, okay, anybody soccer? Yeah, okay, it's not always as popular in America, I know, but it is huge in Romania and lots of other countries in the world. My husband is a very talented soccer player. Yes, you are. He he's being very humble, but he is a very talented soccer player, and God has used this talent to reach others for Christ. In the spring and in the fall, he typically leads a soccer camp with boys anywhere from 3 years old to 30 years old. And it's a great opportunity to share the gospel. He'll usually open with prayer, a devotion, and of course invite them to church. But a lot of these boys won't step into a church building, so we want to go out to them. So who knows, if you like soccer, maybe God will send you to Romania. we can go to the next slide. So I mentioned before working with the girls. I know these girls look very young. Maybe they're 7, 8, 9. But when I'm working with them, I know I don't have a lot of time. Especially in the gypsy culture, a lot of these girls are taught to be mothers and a wife at a very young age. And that is a wonderful calling. That is not a bad thing. But I want them to be children and to at least finish a high school education. So we want to encourage that, to be able to read and to just know how to read your Bible for yourself. Know how to read a contract so people don't get taken advantage of. Different things like this. So even though they look very small, I have to prepare myself mentally. Maybe I only have them for 4 or 5 years at that age. So please pray for these girls. Pray that they would want to know Jesus in a personal way, and that if they are going to get married, to have a godly husband. We can go to the next slide, please. I did want to mention, we personally did not plant a church, but we are helping with the new church plant in our village. It has been a long time in the waiting and a long time in the praying. Probably back in 2015, 2016, they purchased the property, but it's just been a long time building. And so COVID also slowed things down. But we started church services in May of this year, and the official inauguration was in August of this year. So that has definitely been God's hand over that. So that's in our village in Nagoy. We also received shoeboxes from Operation Christmas Child. What's so great about this is not just the toys, but it comes with a 12-week discipleship program. So this time last year, actually probably starting in November, we started going through that course. And it's so wonderful because it goes from the fall with sin entering the world until Jesus' triumphant, you know, resurrection and him defeating sin. And so I think it is such a wonderful program because it lays the foundation for children to understand the gospel. So thank you if you guys have ever done something like that. We are one of the villages that received those boxes. And another prayer request was also for a ministry van. We were picking up kids with our 5-seater passenger car, and there was about 25 kids. So my husband would take 3 trips, and I know that math isn't correct because we just shoved them in there. There's more than 5. But God answered our prayers, and in May of this year, different churches like you donated, and we were blessed to be able to buy that past one, I think it's the 10-seater van, but again, we all take one trip. And but God has provided for that, so we are very, very thankful for that. I just wanted to share some more verses. There's one more slide before a short video that we'll end with. But I know Pastor Jesse had told me that I could just share some things that God has been teaching me in my own walk with him. I just wanted to say thank you for praying, because my one pastor would always say, prayer is not important, it's essential. And just, you know, there's a difference between something being important and essential is like oxygen, you need it to live. I knew that spiritual warfare was real, but I always expected it from the world. What I found out very quickly is it usually starts in the family of Christ. Satan wants to try and destroy from the inside. In the same way that we see the breakdown of the family all across America, we see this within the body of Christ. My husband shared at another church a verse from Philippians. I'll read it for you. It's Philippians 3:10. And it says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The past 2 years have been very hard. And I grew up in a church where every November, they always did month of mission. And it was so cool to hear all these victory stories about what God has done, how people have come to Christ. But I never heard about the hardships or the suffering. And at my age now, I wish somebody had shared, even just a little bit, of how hard it would be. My husband had shared that verse at another church because he said, we always want fellowship with God, but we want it to be the joyful mountaintop experiences. When people are coming to Christ, when we are just being in his presence and so much of the joy of the Lord is being poured into us. But he said, this verse says it's the fellowship of his suffering. Yeah, we don't want that type of fellowship. So it's been a very dark place for me personally. But about 2 weeks ago, my dad, I was talking to him about his mom. I never met her personally, this grandma on my dad's side. But he's like, I think I have her Bible. One, I never even knew she was a Christian or that she attended church. And he gave me this Bible. This was hers. And inside was this little bookmark, and it said, how to use your Bible. And it was all about when you're in sorrow, read this psalm. When you've sinned, read this psalm. When you worry, read this verse. And I came to the one where it says, when men fail you. And it said, read Psalm 27. And the whole psalm, God just comforted me through all of it. But I just want to read the last two verses. It says in verses 13 and 14 of Psalm 27, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. After that, I felt like these floodgates just opened where he gave me verse after verse after verse about waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord. And I asked a couple of pastors, I'm like, what does that mean? And he meant just seeking his face and being in his presence. We don't like to wait. I feel like my husband is the patient one because he has learned from just having to hand wash clothes, having to take a bike instead of going in a car. I'm the American. I have a car. I've always had a washing machine, you know. I have not had the same life experience growing up. But I see because of the suffering that he went through, his character in Christ is so much stronger. And so now God is putting me through some suffering so that I can have that more intimate relationship with him. So for any of you who are going through any hard times, any suffering, any trouble, I pray that you would wait on the Lord and just know that I'm here with you, and I know it's not easy. But just know that Jesus also was rejected. He was falsely accused. He was portrayed as a criminal worthy of death. So we're in good company. On the ride home yesterday, I'll end with these couple of quotes. My husband and I actually stopped in Washington, D.C. We were visiting my sister in Virginia, and we stopped at the Holocaust Museum. Any of you who have ever read The Hiding Place have heard about Corrie ten Boom, and she helped God's children, the Jewish people. And after being in a concentration camp herself, she says, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. When I was visiting my sister, her pastor was also quoted saying, "When trust the heart of God when you do not understand the hand of God." So my encouragement and my prayer for all of us is that whatever you are going through is that we would be of good courage and trust that God will strengthen our heart and that we would wait on him together. So we just have a video, but I want to say thank you. Thank you for taking the time to listen. And I pray that God was glorified today. Thank you.
Yeah, there is not more. I mean, officially, there is not any more communist, but because it was 30 years ago, when this was finished, it's still some part of communism in our country. That's why, for example, as you heard that it's $8 billion. Forget because of this, or that's the reason why many people doesn't have water in their house. Many things like this, because in fact, communists put pressure on people, and it's still right now, even for me, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of needs, but you're asking for us personally or for the people in the villages? Yeah.
My vision is always to think about what I mean. Right now, I pray for a team in Romania to work with us. And please pray too. And if you know somebody who wants to come to work in Romania with us, send them there. This is my prayer. There is a lot of other prayers with people. As I told you, many people from Negoi, the place where you live, they don't have wash machines or to wash their clothes with their own hands. It's hard, and a lot of things like this. But for what I pray right now is for somebody to work with us. It's amazing to work with my wife. It's just the battle, the fight with Satan. It's so hard. So we need power. We need Jesus. We need God's men around us. We need God's people with us to fight together there. So
I would like to answer and say, for us personally, I'd say an older couple to disciple us because we're pretty much on our own. So I pray specifically. No, that's what I mean though, to work with us and teach us how to be missionaries and not just do missions, but to be in God's presence to develop that deeper. So I pray for Titus, two older men and women to disciple us. And then for the villages, I would say work. Anybody is a business owner, knows how to start businesses. I know it's in another country, but I feel like giving out things free all the time doesn't solve the problem. And so I think work needs to be generated and to give people an opportunity to stay home with their kids and be in the same country. I see that as one of the biggest problems. So anybody has any business skills? Good question.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to Pennsylvania. They get all four seasons. Where we live, it's pretty flat. There's no trees in the mountains, so it does get snow, but maybe not as much as here. And the summers are really hot. July is really hot. It's like over 100 the whole month. Yeah, in our region there is, especially sunflowers, they use it as a crop. Corn, wheat, grain, yeah. Definitely sunflowers use so too because it's a popular snack and they use the oil a lot.
Joel, you three come up, go ahead, Marcy. We're going to pray. I want all of you to join me with us and pray. Mm-hmm. Pray quietly with yourself, just agree with us. You have a song of songs and close, kept going, amen, amen, amen. You know what that means? I agree with that. You can keep saying amen while we're praying, right? And this is the first that came to mind, Abby and Hannah, to me, when I was praying this week in Ephesians chapter 1. Talking about God giving you things. It says, the Father of glory may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you would know what is the hope of His calling, what is His riches and glory and His inheritance in the saints, and that what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us to believe. And God, we just pray that for Hannah and Tavi, that you would just fulfill those verses in their lives, that you would give them wisdom and knowledge beyond their age, beyond their education, beyond their own abilities, but you would speak through them and work through them with that knowledge of how to minister. You, God, could bring people into their lives that could be an encouragement. And like Marcia and I here, we could send emails, but it would be so much better if they had someone right in that area that they could connect with, that could be a father and a mother to them in a real way. Just ask that you would do that in Jesus' name. For the record.
Yes, Father God, we just pray that they'll find the couple they need to come alongside them and teach them how. Teach them how to minister, how to grow in the knowledge and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit well up inside of them, overflow onto themselves and all those on the mountain. We thank you for these special people.
Lord, I just thank you that you gave us this opportunity to be with Tavi and Hannah today and to hear their story and to hear what you are doing through them in their community. I thank you, Lord, for the reminder for us here that we are blessed people and we could be really gripey, complainy people, but Lord, help us to remember how good you are to us every day, every moment. You are faithful and good. And Father, I pray that you would continue to just keep them in that tender place in your presence, both of them in their relationship with you, in their relationship with one another, that you would stand firm with them against the enemy that would want to tear them apart and pull them away from you and pull people in their churches away from you. Lord, you are mightier, you are victorious, and we count on you to accomplish your vision for this community. And we thank you, Lord, that we can even be a little small part. What a privilege it is to walk beside you. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that the harvest is plentiful. And now we pray, Father, that you will bring those workers alongside of them. Father, we just thank you already for your provision in that. We will continue to pray and lift them up. Lord, that they will be reminded they're not walking with them alone, that you beside them and you will send the help that they need. Lord, we do just pray for that spiritual covering over them. They long to be submitted to that. It's so incredible to hear them share. Oh, they're longing for that mentor. So we pray to you for your provision right now that you will send us to the need.
Lord Jesus, I also agree, Lord, that you would just bring that couple into their life, Lord Jesus, that can help mentor them, Lord, and be there for them, Lord, and encourage them in this walk they're going through, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just look at the video and just seeing the growth already, Lord, that you are doing there, Lord, the work that you are doing in that place. It's amazing, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as it continues to grow, the need is even more, Lord, for help as this couple has poured out their lives to these people, Lord Jesus, that you would bring others into their life that can help support them too in this work that's going on, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, as I've said, Lord, that we are children of God, and whether we're here in the U.S. or we're in Romania, Lord, or somewhere else, we are still brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, and that we would remember to lift them up on a regular basis in prayer, Lord. Lift up what's going on there, Lord, the ministry going on, Lord Jesus, the changes that are, the lives that are being changed. Lord, I pray that their ministry there, Lord, would just, again, it's not theirs, it's yours, Lord, and you'd continue to use them, your glory, Lord. And I just, that's one of the things that stuck out most is that you guys are, you give the honor and the glory to God. And if you continue doing that, God will continue honoring you. Or that work will continue in your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
I called Beverly up here because I know you shared with me you have a heart for mission. You love mission. And I would just like you to close in prayer.
Father, we praise and thank you for this couple, Lord. Father, keep your hand upon them. We know you can do abundantly above what we could ask. And Lord, we just pray your Holy Spirit would be used upon them, cover them with the blood of Jesus, and protect and guide them, Lord, and increase their numbers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.